Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
Good evening, I'm Zeb, you're listening to Vectis Movies, where we will discuss this week's film releases, which include The Nun, 22 Miles, Black Klansman, Searching, The Predator and Puzzle. We're broadcasting from Vectis Radio on 104.6 FM. You can also hear us on vectisradio.com as well as the TuneIn Radio app. Podcasts will be available on your preferred podcast source later this evening. You can find our Twitter page, Vectis Movies, and share your thoughts. With me is Sharon.
Hello.
And Sean.
Hiya.
Hopefully we will be joined by Tozen later, fingers crossed.
Hot on the phone.
Yes. How are you both today?
Well, thank you, Zeb. And you, have you had a good week?
It's been good, tiring, yeah. You know, full week back at sixth form, yeah.
Well, yes, not really school, is it, for you
no.
now? It's more college.
Yeah, I mean, I can't use it as an excuse completely, can I? You know, a bit of a slacker, but there we have it.
Oh, there
you go. I'm sure, well, you got your distinction anyway, didn't you?
And, well, yeah, we're getting there.
Yeah, for you.
So this week we're going to talk about 22 Miles, and Sean, I think you saw this one, didn't you?
I did see this one, yeah. This was an unlimited screening. This was, you know, because if you've got an unlimited card, they do these screenings. Now, from the trailer, I was like, you know, what's this film? It's going to be... Basically, the story of this film is it's about an undercover... like undercover, you know, dark ops sort of thing that, you know, so far under the radar, a special group of people that, you know, do, you know, look after the
secret
security.
Things.
Yeah, secret things. They look after the security of the United States, I guess, you know, CIA thing. And they're all sort of super wizard high tech guys. And also you've got the guys on the ground that do all the shooting and all the looking after. And they've got to, it ends up, that they've got to take this, well, what he thinks a double agent, obviously knows something. He goes to the American embassy and sort of surrenders, and they say, oh, you know, is he any serious? And the police of this, it's not a real nation, but it's somewhere in, you know, somewhere in Southeast Asia area. And the ambassadors turn up and they say, oh, we want him back. So they're thinking, oh, maybe he is something. So they decide to keep him, but they've there's obviously some people inside the embassy that want him dead. And the guy, I don't know, there's a film called The Raid a few years ago. Did you ever see The Raid? No.
No, I never did.
It was an Indonesian movie, so there's like, I can't remember the chap's name, but he's like, you know, super kung fu type person, you know, does all the... So there's lots of action. Anyway, and they've got to escort him these 22 miles to get him to this aeroplane, you know, and it's like 22 miles to go, and everybody's after them, you know, they're all sort of... So really, it's a series of shoot-ups, you know, different cars. And obviously the tech guys, they're, you know, they're saying, oh, yeah, OK, take this. That's nothing really, really new. OK, Mark Wahlberg, he plays a sort of character which is supposed to be, you know, like super highly stressed and super, and he has to flick this band. But I could not take Wahlberg seriously in this movie. He's supposed to be, you know, real sort of angry, aggressive. He's quite a nasty character, but he just, to me, it was just comical. He was just wasn't him, you know. It's probably one of the worst Wahlberg films I've seen.
Do you think he's, I know it sounds a bit ageist, but do you think he's beginning to get a bit old to these sort of roles now?
Well, I don't...
Because he's in his 40s, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't suppose it's so much the age, it's just they're the same sort of roles, you know, with all these, you know, all the big guns, all the action things, all the fighting. So, but I have to say, this film, it was, the fight scenes, which there were quite a lot of, a very, very shaky cam, very, very badly edited.
You don't like those normally, do you?
I don't, no. It was like real quick edit cuts. A bit like the Bourne movies.
Queasy,
yeah,
think,
and it's
sometimes.
Like, what, you know, what's going on? You don't actually get to see too much, you know. You obviously see people, you know, lots of blood and shooting and things like that. But it's all cut so fast and so shaky cam, which, I mean, I don't think it was shaky cam, but it just seemed shaky cam because that was the way it was... the fight scenes went, and you had the obligatory car chases. And I always find in all the films like that, when cars get blown up, they always seem to flip on their bonnets. They always seem to go forward like that. You know, they sort of flip forward on top of their bonnets and go on their roofs, and they never go on their side or never get shot up into the air or anything like that.
It's slightly always, too perfect.
Yeah, slightly too perfect. Yeah, I guess that's it. I mean, this film is not, you know, it doesn't let up on the action. There's plenty of action. But for me, you know, my... it's like, that wouldn't happen. That would happen. You know, they dodge like thousands and millions of bullets, you know, that are shot at them, and they never get shot, but they shoot everyone else. You know what I mean? It's like, you know...
The one thing I do tend to notice in these films, just a random thing, is that you never see flying shell cases. They're firing millions of bullets, but there's no shell cases.
I'm glad it's not just me.
And you think, well, what are they firing? Is it wax so that it just dissolves in midair? But I know people who shoot, and they come away with like carrier bags full of their shell cases. They are everywhere when you are shooting. And so I think, what happens to all those flying bits of metal?
Yeah. I just find it funny that when, like... You know, you've got like 40 soldiers or villains or whatever that miss with every shot.
Yeah, they're all bad shots.
And
they
can like the
one shot, yeah, like stormtroopers in one shot, and they're like, you know, the protagonist or antagonist, whatever, always seems to get them with the one shot, you know, good shot.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, come on. So, yeah, so I had quite a few issues with this movie.
What sort of audience would you say this one's aimed for?
Just someone who likes action movies, really, I guess.
Yeah.
Someone who likes action movies, see a lot of shooting.
Quite a generic sort
of... Yeah, generic film, really. Nothing new. It's quite interesting towards the end. So I'm not going to give any spoilers, but it almost like wants to set it up for another one, for a new, you know, so they can carry on.
Keep it all open.
To make some sort of, well, you know, franchise or some sort of, you know,
Mile
22... universe, you know,
Mile 23.
Mile 23, yeah. Mile 24. Like Jump Street. So, yeah, it's, as I say, Wahlberg is not good in this, I don't think. I mean, he's, for playing a serious character, he comes over comedic, I think. You know, this is my take on it. And as I say, in a lot of the action sequences are so, the edits are so fast that you don't really, you know, like that. And as I say, so yeah, I had many issues with this film, to be fair.
Okay,
how many stars for this one? Probably a two, just because probably a two, yeah. Two. I wouldn't really, from a personal point of view, I could imagine other people saying, oh yeah, because we'll come to another film in a minute, and some people like that sort of thing and they don't think too deep, which is probably my, I'm just, all the time when I watch a film I'm like, oh no, why did that dynamic, which is probably not good. You know?
So do you think if they did make another one, would you still go
and see it? Yeah, I'd still go and watch, you know, because I can. And as I say, but from a personal point of view, it didn't have that wow factor of thinking, do you know what? That was a really, really good movie.
It's the sort of film that if I watch, I must admit, I tend to forget I've watched it after about a couple of weeks. If you said, what did you see 3 weeks ago? I'd be thinking, what did I see 3 weeks ago?
That's it.
It would go, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it definitely would be just one that
you'd That's
probably...
a two-star film to me. It's one that you see and then they just sort of disappear from your mental radar quite quickly. So that's a two film, I think. By definition for me.
Yeah, I reckon. I mean, at sixth form, we've been given the option to study Blade Runner 2049.
Okay.
And I was just shaking my head, to be honest.
See, I quite liked
that too, yeah.
See, that was one I was thinking, this isn't going to stick in my mind.
There's some things that are very good about it.
Yeah.
Oh, there are. There are some really brilliant parts of it, and I think the cinematography was spectacular.
Yeah.
But overall, for me, it's just a bit boring.
Did you see the original?
Yes, I have seen the original. I enjoyed that one. But just this remake, I felt like they were doing a remake for the sake of doing a remake, and it didn't really add anything.
Okay. There's lots I liked about it. I liked the way if the universe felt like it was the same Blade Runner universe, but just 20 years later, it felt like it was... You could see how the technology would go from there.
Yeah, that's true.
From where it started off to where it ended up in the sequel. So I like those elements of that I liked. But part of the story, I was thinking, okay, you're stringing us along here.
Yeah.
And then you're going to give us a pop in the nose later on. So, on the whole, I liked it.
Yeah, I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Funny enough, they've been having it on Sky Movies. And
so
I decided whether I was going to watch it again, and I did actually watch it again. I thought I'm probably going to... Not, but I enjoyed it even more, to be fair.
Yeah, I think sometimes they take reviewing.
They do. Sometimes you have to see a film again, I think.
Yeah, I guess
so. To take, but yeah, if it didn't give you that wow, then I'd study.
Yeah, I think sometimes I have seen films because I hated them and I thought, it can't have been that bad. And I've watched it again, and I still hated it.
Yeah.
And one film I actually watched three times because I couldn't believe it was a literary adaptation. And I thought, I love the book. I thought, I cannot believe that I don't like this film. And so I watched it three times, and I hated it every single time. And now I've just given up on it completely. And that was Pride and Prejudice with Keira Knightley.
Oh, see, I would like to see that one.
Yeah. Love the television show with Colin Firth, but this wasn't. Keira Knightley's a bit Marmite for me, but and I'm sort of on the sort of the hater side. But I love the rest of the cast. I really like, but I absolutely detested that film with every pore in my body.
Sharon, I actually saw that movie. That was one film went to see. Yeah, because I liked the BBC series. It was awful. Keira Knightley was not
Elizabeth Bennet.
It was just really, really awful. And I don't like Keira Knightley. Anyway, I think she's terrible. But one thing I do like is, have you seen that McDonald's advert? Because she did Keira Knightley did a perfume advert with that pouty look.
I know, yes.
You know the perfume advert?
When
you go to the cinema, there's a McDonald's advert and it goes, think burger. And that is... that. have you seen that advert?
I know what you mean.
Burger, yeah. But, yeah, no, Keira Knightley, I'm really, really sorry. I can't stand that pouty... I think there was a film called London Town.
Yes,
and she was, just plays
Colin
the same
Farrell, wasn't it,
Colin well? Farrell. Yeah, she just plays the same character and does the same pouty movement and tries.
Well, you
to
can
look,
sort of relive your dislike of her because she's coming up in a new couple of films in the next few months. Mm. Yeah,
well,
but we're digressing. I know, Zeb, we're very naughty about.
Well,
this,
no, that's okay. I was just thinking. Well, talking of things we hate and can't stand. Sean, you went to see the latest sort of horror-y film.
You've hated every single horror film you've seen this year so far.
And yet you say you like horror.
I'm waiting to be scared. I am waiting to think, you know, or for something original, something different.
Well, you said in the trailer of this one it did make you jump, didn't you?
Slightly. There was one slight thing.
Because there's a scene in the trailer where there's one, the modern nun is walking down the corridor and you see the shadow of this creepy nun behind her.
Like you always do.
See that bit in the trailer, that didn't surprise me really. I thought, that's quite clever for some people, you know, would just sort of be like, oh yeah, I know what's happening. But
so yeah, what's the nun about then?
The nun, okay, basically there's
for those of us who are not going to watch it.
Yes, hello.
It starts off obviously with two nuns going back a few years, and they open this cabin and goes, oh, I've got to go in, and something happens, there's like a big scream and the nun gets snatched away, and then you go to the Vatican and they decide they're going to send some people, and there's this novice nun who they're going to send as well.
Why would you send a novice?
Exactly.
Because nun's
apparently
job.
She's special. There's something special about her. So they go to investigate the things and you've got a young guy that picks them up and takes them there, and obviously he's sort of the nun's not in her habits much of that, so he's like, oh, you know, he sort of, you can tell he quite likes her.
But anyway, wow.
He drops him off, yeah, but sort of strange. It's quite funny, really, the bit, which will have to come in a bit later. To me, right, and I think I even said it, and I went to see it with our friend Joe, and I said, this is like a Catherine Cookson story. And he burst out hysterically laughing. It was a Catherine Cookson story. It's like the Cinder Path or something like that. But I don't know if you... Sharon is probably a bit lowbrow for you.
I say I have not read Catherine Cookson, but I'm certainly aware of all the television adaptations.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, how would a nun, a creepy nun, feature in a Catherine Cookson story?
Well, exactly. But that was like the build-up. And then there's this... obviously, one of these entities, which is a nun, and all these strange things have happened to the nuns that are in the convent, obviously. And basically, it's like a... oh, we've got to find this key, or we got, you know, there's a key that they need to put the demon back inside its wherever it comes from, you know, its cage, because it had been caged up and escaped. So, but then, right? So you've got the two investigators, and obviously the young lad decides he's going to go back as well because something happens to him, which was not particularly scary, but let's just say he carries around a giant cross, right? just like two bits of wood sand together, and he even goes into a pub. Into
is
the
it Nosferatu
bar.
Living in?
Yeah, no, something like that. Yeah, to try and protect himself. It is nothing original in this, and there's not even. There's probably, if you were to get, you know, I would say there's none scares, none story, you know. So, sorry, that was supposed to be a pun. No story. That wasn't a very good one.
We get it.
Yeah, you get the idea. So yeah, basically, it was...
Is it a nil point? Is it a nun point?
Yeah, nun points. Yeah. I don't know. I just... Well, as I say, there was nothing scary in it. So... It's just the standard, but it was very, what I would call, not that I've seen any Catherine Cooks and thing, but it was that sort of period where, you know, oh, the young lad likes the nun and, you know, just strange things.
Were there sort of any big names in this cast?
Do you know, I don't know.
No?
Do you don't know? I just decided to go, I mean, it wasn't even on the radar, but I thought, well, I've got to see it. And it's part of the... What's the franchise?
A Conjuring?
Conjuring franchise, yeah. So it was all part of that.
Because
I think in another film, there's a picture of the nun in
one of the
other films.
They start off well, the Conjurings, and then slowly got rapidly degenerate into this pap.
But I think it's probably going to make...
It's a good word for it.
I think it's probably going to make loads of money, because they do, don't they? And they're just so incredibly cheap to make.
Mm.
You know, really, really cheap to make.
Yeah, sort of low lighting and creepy makeup, isn't it?
That's it. I think the one who played the young nun, the novice nun, is the daughter of someone famous. But I know I'm quite bad. I don't research all these things and that.
It's nice to take things at face value sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, so.
How many stars would you give this one, sorry?
Yeah, probably a one.
A one,
just for the Catherine Cookson element.
Well, we'll slowly move on then, and we'll go to a break. We'll be right back.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
Have you looked at your carpets lately? Whatever the problems with your carpets, curtains or upholstery, you need ChemDry first. Do your settees look worse for wear? Have you got stains on your chairs? No matter what the material, be it leather, cotton or silk, ChemDry first have the tools, training and experience to ensure they look their best. Call 295 518 or go to chemdryfirst.co.uk. That number again is 295 518.
Olive White Studio Glass at Arrowton Barnes Craft Village is one of the leading British glassmaking studios and has a reputation worldwide. The studio is open 7 days a week and you can come and watch master glassmaker Timothy Harris create his amazing designs. A visit to Isle of Wight Studio Glass also offers an opportunity to purchase a piece of glass that you will treasure for always. You can also buy online at isleofwightstudioglass.co.uk or call us on 522-339.
For over 70 years, White Building Materials have been the leading supplier of construction and building materials on the Isle of Wight, offering ready-mixed concrete, decorative aggregates, concrete blocks and so much more. They're right here on your doorstep, unless of course you haven't built it yet, in which case you need White Building Materials. For more information or if you have any questions regarding products and services, contact them on 01983 524 822 or check out the website whitebuildingmaterials.com. White Building Materials. Get your asphalt into gear and call them today.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the island's local station.
Welcome back to Vectis Movies. So next we are going to be discussing Puzzle. Sharon and I went to see this one. Sharon, would you like to sort of explain what the plot of this one is?
Yeah, this is a plot. It basically features the main character is a lady. I'm just trying to think what her name is now. It's Agnes. Agnes.
Yes, that's right.
Who's is played by Kelly MacDonald. She's a lady in her early 40s. And you see her at the beginning of the film, you see her preparing for this birthday party, putting the decorations up, getting the tables ready, preparing the food, making a cake. And then during the party, you see her sort of serving drinks to people, saying to people, yeah, you're okay, are you enjoying yourself? And then when a plate gets smashed, she's clearing up the plate, and then you see her in the kitchen on her own trying to fix this plate. And then at the end, you see her bring the cake in, and then they all start singing happy birthday to her.
It's so sad.
And that sets the tone for the film, really. This is a woman who has done everything for everyone, and yet for her own birthday party, she's just not connected at all. She's not... The guests, when they're talking, they're not talking to her. Her husband, when he's talking, he's not talking to her. It's all... She's there, but she's just not present, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then after the party's all over, she opens up her birthday presents and she gets a jigsaw puzzle. And she says, you know, she looks at it and puts it aside. And the next day she sits down and she does this 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle in about an hour flat, an hour and a half. You know, she just is rapid, like... And we then, as the film evolves, we found out that she, when she was at school, was passionate about mathematics, and she has a mathematical brain. And that this sort of puzzle has just sort of sparked an interest in her. And so she calls the person who got her this jigsaw puzzle and says that, you know, where did you get this puzzle? I'd like to get another puzzle. And so she goes to this shop in New York. She lives in sort of like the American sort of suburbs, like a small town outside of, you know, like four train stops away from New York City. And she goes in and buys another puzzle. And then while she's there, she sees a sign that says, a champion puzzler is seeking a partner for competition. And so she, after a few days, she thinks, oh, what the heck? So she calls them and says, yeah, I think I'm good at puzzles. You know, would you consider me? And then the story evolves that she decides to meet this person. And her puzzles, her piece in her life just sort of fits in with this sort of, this new picture, as it were. So... And then the story progresses from there.
It's like she was the puzzle in herself,
she
really.
Was the, yeah, she was a puzzle, and she was a piece in... we all are. We're all a piece in a wider picture. So the story then evolves that she, you know, about her relationship is then sort of in... You see her relationship in connection to this new person she meets, Richard, who is an inventor. And then you see her in connection with her husband and then her sons, and then how she fits in to all these different areas of her life. And how, in many ways, she doesn't fit. She's built a life around herself, and it just doesn't quite fit her. She's made herself like the perfect wife, the perfect mother, even though it's not a role that she particularly
enjoys
or is best suited to her talents. Because she's obviously got a really sharp mind, but she thinks sort of slightly differently to other people. So in a party, you know, she's the odd one out. And then in like the church ladies' meeting, again, in some ways, she has like this... She says an expression where they say something like, there's no confession for a month, and because there's no priests to hear the confession. And she says something like, oh, I just have to put all our sins in a box for a month. And everyone sort of looks at her and sort of goes, not appropriate. And then she's completely isolated. So you get the feeling that she's this sort of unique piece that doesn't quite fit into the picture of her life. And then as things progress through the film, you get to see how she has been sort of trying to shape herself to fit in around everyone else. And that there's, and as the story progresses, you get to see her almost like defining her own boundaries and saying that, you know, the picture of my life isn't quite right for me. So I need to start sharpening up my edges to make myself a bit more and make the picture fit around me rather than me just being moldable. I think that's a feeling we get, isn't it? That she's suddenly beginning to assert her independence and to reassert herself. And everyone's sort of thinking, what's wrong with you? But for 20 years, you know, she's just gone along and just been to everyone else what they need and has never really looked at what she needs and what stimulates her and what interests her. And one interesting sort of side note was her son. One of her sons wants to go to college and had to write an essay about why I want to go to college. And effectively, to summarise his long essay, is like, you know, because I don't want to be anything like my mum and dad.
That's true, yeah. Is there, like, any romance between the inventor and the...
You'll have to wait and find out.
There's some things you don't want to discuss.
That's all right. I'm really interested in this movie, and from the trailer and from certain things, it's you know I couldn't get whatever.
There is a quiet humour to it, but it's but it is quite a quiet. There's no sort of major dramatic events in it. There's no like one event that you go, whoa, that's what changes everything. It's like this slow.
It's more realistic.
Yeah, it's a slow realisation on her part. You know that what the life she's been living maybe isn't, but she hasn't been the best version of herself that she could be.
This film, I think, is actually really beautiful because I think there's so many different layers to it. And it's not one of those, like, Inception where you have to figure out every single layer to understand it. And it's not one of those mind-numbing ones. It's sort of you can look as far into it as you like and relate to it in each little section. And sort of from the struggles with her relationships with all of her family and... her family understanding her and her understanding her family better, but also this idea that she is kind of stuck in the past, both in the family's views towards her role as a woman, but also her rejection of technology.
Yes, she doesn't want a phone, she doesn't want to be connected or to Google anything, does she? She just completely rejects it. And the mobile phones are for emergencies only.
And there's so many strong messages in this film about sort of, you've got to find your own path, but try and embrace new things. But it's kind of, you know, you find something you're good at and keep hold of it. And it doesn't matter what other people think. Yeah, you've just got to go for it.
Yes, I like the fact that it's about, not always about conformity as well.
So that sounds like me, actually.
Yeah, because there's one, I think there's one bit where you see them in the competition and where they've been sort of practicing this competitive jigsaw puzzling where they say, oh, this is a technique you always use. And she's always been like, yeah, oh, okay. Well, this is the way I've done it, but, you know, if that's the way you do it, okay. And then later on you see her saying, well, actually, if we do it my way, this way, we might stand a chance of winning.
And it's such a strong message, isn't it?
It's a strong message, isn't it? Because all along, she's always gone like, you know, well, if that's what you want, okay. Or if that's okay. Mm. And this time it's like saying, no, and she just put her foot down in such a gentle way, but it makes a big difference. And for her, it's like a big step, isn't it? Rather than...
Yes.
I think it's
full of metaphor, this film.
It's always beautiful. I love it.
Yeah, oh, that's good then. But that, I mean, that does happen in real life. You can be influenced by people and things around you and that. Major thing.
I decided because
something happened like that, similar sort of thing, where just like, okay, I'm going to conform with, you know, this is what's expected of me, this is how I should be, this is like society, this is how. And then I just, after that, I just thought,
just
no, I'm
away.
Just going to step away. I'm going to, even if I think people think I'm strange and non-conformist, I'm going to live.
Oh, yeah. I'm all for non-conformity.
And this film truly, truly encourages that. And
sort
of watching the trailer, you think, okay, this could be quite an uplifting film, but it looks for the older audience. Yeah. And when Sharon and I went into the cinema, it wasn't particularly full, but I would say I was the youngest person by at least 30 years.
Yes.
Careful.
I'm trying to do some maths in my head.
Careful.
It's all right, I'm terrible at maths, Sharon.
Probably not far off. But.
Well, we'll say 20, that'll make you happy.
No, I think 30 is probably closer.
But I did thoroughly enjoy it. You know, I'm 70 years old, but it's such a good film. I mean, I did have a slight problem with this film. So, obviously, she's set up to go and get this jigsaw puzzle after her friend has bought her one for her birthday. Yeah. And she says, where did you get it from? So then she travels all of this way
to get a
jigsaw puzzle. But surely, in a little town, you'd have at least one place that would sell you know, even as a little charity shop.
Because I was thinking, you know, where did you get it? And I'm thinking, you just go in any newsagent and you'll find one.
It's just sort of common sense.
But I think where she's like this mathematical, I think she's not autistic, but she's got that quite precise mind. She's quite mathematical.
Yes.
And where she wanted a puzzle, it was like, well, where did you get the puzzle? And then I can get another one. So I think you can almost see that she thinks in that sort of linear way.
Yeah, I suppose.
But yeah, when she did that myself, I was thinking, well, you just go down the library, you might be able to find jigsaw puzzles. But obviously she doesn't think that way. She thinks quite sort of in a linear way. So she probably thought, well, if that A goes to B and B is the person who bought me the gift, and if they got it from C, then I will go to C. So I can imagine how she would probably, her mind would work in that way.
Yeah, and obviously they had to do it, you know, to set up the plot, but I just feel like at certain times it made it a bit slower. Sort of seeing all this travelling to and from, and it's
we want
to see this story. We don't want to just keep seeing this train pulling up and going again and coming
metaphor
again.
For her journey.
Oh, Sharon, I do love metaphors.
that's quite.
So, this film, I thought it was...
It's quite a little gem, I thought.
Yes, and I was saying just before we came on that this was one of those, I was really, really enjoying it, and it got to the ending, and I suddenly thought, well, that's a really naff ending. And then we came out, and I was talking to Sharon, and Sharon said something, and it actually made me rethink the whole ending, and now I love it.
Oh, good.
Really, really love it. And so I just hadn't thought about it that way, but we'll maybe talk about it briefly again in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
Just sort of give people a chance to see that.
You don't want to spoil
No,
things.
but
do you think it'd be the sort of film that I would enjoy?
Hmm.
I mean, I know Sharon's really good at metaphors and so yeah. some other people.
I think there's enough in there to like it if you... I think it's a quiet film, and obviously it's... I don't think it's sort of female-centric in that you have to be a woman to enjoy it. I think it talks about... People of all genders feel isolated in their lives.
Yeah.
And I think people fall into a pattern of, you know, she sort of left high... You get the feeling she left high school, she got married, she had the children, she went to church, she did everything that was expected of her. And I think everyone can fall into that pattern of, like, doing the thing that's expected. Yeah. And one of her sons, again, he's like, didn't do well at school, he had no burning ambition, so he's just fallen in with... going to work with his dad and doing everything that's expected of him, but then being absolutely miserable in his life. So yeah. I think we can all see mirrors of ourselves in those sort of things where you've fallen into a pattern of behaviour, because it's easier to fall in than it is to step out.
Yeah.
And so I think there's that to be seen. I think anyone can identify with that. Mm. So.
And overall, I would say the message of this film is to embrace yourself. And I think if you need that... bit of encouragement, or you want that reassurance that you are doing the right thing by loving yourself, then go see it.
If you just want
something easy but almost lovable and a way to love yourself, this is it.
And you don't have to be selfish.
No, not at all. And I think that's something this film highlights. It's kind of finding that balance between doing the right thing for the people you love and for yourself.
And other people can see you trapped in your circumstances as well. Yeah. And I think I think what opens her eyes to her own situation is when other people have described her in a way that she hasn't seen herself. And it's like, is that how they see me?
Yes.
And I think that is a revelation to her as well, and it helps... acts as a catalyst in some ways for her changing.
And not only is it for her to realise that she should love this part of herself, it's actually making her realise that perhaps she doesn't need certain people in her life that are going to hold her back from that and sort of aren't going to appreciate her for everything she can do.
She doesn't need permission to do.
Yeah, and it's things like the maths. And her husband makes a comment about, why would you want to do maths?
Yeah.
And it's kind of that, but that's her thing. You know, you've got to love her for that.
You know, some people should encourage that. Sometimes I think things like that come down to maybe envy or a bit of jealousy or something like that. Oh, you're really good
or
at something.
People just don't get it, I think, sometimes. Yeah. Yeah. If you have a gift or passion, and I've heard, because I've described, you know, sort of things I've done, and one of my friends, I like quite creative things. He doesn't get it at all. Bless his heart. Mm. I love him to bits. But when I've said to him, I'm going to be doing this, he goes, why would you do that? Doesn't get it. And you sort of feel slightly deflated because you're thinking... oh, you think it's a complete waste of time. But then you think, well, actually, I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it as a creative, expressive thing.
For sure.
And so it's not about validation or confirmation. It's just about sort of embracing something that gives you joy. Yeah. And so I think for this lady, it's discovering what gives her joy.
Brilliant. So overall, I think I would probably give this film maybe a 3, 3.5.
Yes, I was thinking, to me, 3.5, a good 3.5.
Mm.
Maybe borderline 4, but I think it wouldn't be in everyone's 4. I think it'd probably be a 3 for most people, but for me it's more than a 3. I would be giving it like a 3, if we do half points, 3.5 to a 4. Yeah.
Okay. And then, Sean, what was the third film you've been to see?
Okay, well, I went to see Predator, you know, because they brought out another Predator movie. Okay, basically, I'll be really quick with this again. The story is a group of soldiers have an encounter with a predator. I mean, most people know what a predator is now. Did you ever see these?
I've seen them all.
Okay.
Even the really dreadful ones.
Yeah. Okay. You won't be disappointed then. Okay. So, anyway, so it starts off and obviously...
Can I ask one tiny, tiny question?
You can do.
Is this a complete reboot or does it... Is it fit in with the previous Predator films?
Yeah, it's to do with previous Predator films, obviously.
Okay.
So they know, you know, there's always a group that know about the...
They've heard about the Predators. They look like the normal Predators, but from some of the publicity I've seen, I've got the feeling it may be like a, we're going to start all over again.
Yeah, I got that.
We're going to go like before Arnie, we're just going to start all over again. So that's not completely out.
No, good. Obviously, an alien lands, they have an encounter, this special ops group. One guy obviously survives and he manages to get a bit of predator tech, shall we say, and he decides that he's going to mail it to his family because he wants some of this. And anyway, so he goes and he's obviously interviewed by the military and they say, oh, well, you're going to, you know, no such thing. We're going to put you in. So they get them in a bus, you know, basically put them in prison. And in the bus, there's this group of other soldiers, which are like, you've got a guy with Tourette's, and they've all done something wrong. So they're like a real bunch of misfits on this bus.
So it's like the brig on wheels.
Like the brig on wheels, yeah, basically. And they're heading off somewhere. But obviously, a predator's come down because they want to get this tech stuff back because they you know, to destroy it and stuff. So let's just say the CGI is absolutely awful in this movie. It's so much CGI. So much, absolutely, from the opening shot to the CGI is awful. You know, at least the Predator looked a bit...
And that's a shame because these sort of films actually are normally better at the CGI than they are the actual stories.
Yeah.
So
it's really, really bad.
Yeah.
Well, you saw it 3D. Do you think that impacted on the look of the effects?
Well, you'll go and see it, Sharon.
So I shall see it 2D. I can tell you that.
But I think it's, you know, it's very obvious that it is CGI, should we say? So anyway, yeah, basically, sort of things happen. This alien tech, but they take over the bus. You know, obviously, like they do. This group of misfits, they take over the bus, and it's like, oh, I've mailed the alien tech to my house, so we better go, and because that's where the alien would be headed, you know. So they obviously get there. Meantime, this soldier's little boy has found that he's opened the box and he's worked it all out. He's worked out everything, you know, like they do. He's obviously Asperger's or something along those lines. But anyway, you know, because he goes out in this alien stuff on Halloween because it's Halloween, and they're like, and all sorts of stuff happen. And the group that know about the predators, that have got predator tech, they just seem to know how to use it. Do you know what I mean? They can use it. It's just like they don't even examine it, and you've got this bunch of...
Because I thought some of the predator tech was geared to their DNA and to their physiognomy.
Apparently not. Apparently it's like arm bracelets,
like,
and things that
that's
come
gone out,
out
the window.
Okay.
And you know how to, you know, they can use
just
use
as well
the
their bipedal
stuff.
Isn't it really?
It is really, yeah. For sure. And I mean, it's just, yeah, obviously, so there's this big confrontation with this group of misfits, you know, because obviously all the regular soldiers and police don't turn up, and or they do at one time, and there's an ultimate big fight, which is like Mission Impossible. Like, Tom, I just cannot understand how, through all that stuff that's going on, you know, people survive an ounce of time being dropped 20 feet, you know, and then they're injured and they run around, and all of a sudden they're not injured and they're able to fight, and and they manage to dodge trees and jump over bushes and all this type of thing. And it's just like, you know me and my movies. I mean, and I guess the only positive thing you could say about this movie was that people would like, not me particularly, but I'm sure, because I know there was a young couple watching it, and he was going, yeah. There's lots of blood and lots of limbs getting sliced, and, you know, so if you're into your action sort of thing, it's very graphic in that way. So, yeah, so the action sequences are pretty much what I guess a young audience
would
enjoy.
You would expect from
a Predator movie, you know, and a bit more extreme probably than the original Predator.
Do you still get Predator vision every now and then?
Predator vision?
You know, where you see everything, they sort of see things in heat.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Don't you?
With the funny outlines,
it's like, oh, there's a hot thing that's got to be a target.
And they do have the subtitles where you see the alien language, and then it goes into English, you know, so you can see what the. But yeah,
there's certain things you've got to have in a Predator film. You've got to have the mask opening and
keeping the sound.
What amazes me is these bunch of guys. They sort of go in the house. One of them has just got like a little basic rifle like that, and then the next time when they're fighting, they've somehow got all these massive machine guns and state-of-the-art tech, and it's like, you've just escaped in a bus, there's no weapons, or like maybe you could pick up the odd one or two from perhaps some of the guards, but I mean
convenient.
These guys have got like the, do you know what I mean, it's and it's like, oh no, I just
yeah they're
not
like
credible.
Something's turned into special
yeah
forces.
Suddenly, and they're like a whole special forces thing, you know, and they all do, they can all do special things, like, you know, explosive. So I think this is a comedy. I think it's a comedy, you know, because there's some funny bits in it. Oh, yeah, and there's some alien dogs. Predator dogs, sorry, not aliens. I get aliens. I do apologise.
Well, there have been the AVP universe, yeah, where they have crossed over a few times.
That's right. Mm. So,
what's the cast like on this one?
I don't know. I don't know who any of them are because the cast, there probably is, but I just really was a little bit. It was okay. It was okay to watch for the action and all that, but it had lots and lots of plot holes, loads of them, in fact. Mm. You know, but I'm sure a lot of people will just enjoy it for the action, you know. So,
okay, how many stars would you give this one?
CGI awful, the plot pretty poor, the characters not really believable, but I'd probably give it perhaps a 2, just mainly.
Well, according to my research that I've just quickly done, you've got, there's a few people might know, Olivia Munn as Casey in it. There's Thomas Jane, who was...
Oh, Tom Jane, he was the Predator. Oh, yes. Yeah, he was not the Predator, Punisher. He was the Punisher, yes. He predated aliens. I'm getting confused
There's
today.
Alfie Allen, who was... he's been in a few things. He was in the Keanu Reeves John Wick. Oh, and people know him from Game of Thrones because he's Theon Greyjoy in Game of Thrones. Jake Busey, who's the son of Gary Busey. Jake Busey. He's in it. They're the ones that I know, but there's obviously a few more in there that people will go, oh, I know him.
I was thinking about this.
Sterling K. Brown, I think people would know him from various things. Keenan Michael Key, I think people would know him from things. So, yeah, there's a few in the cast. They're not complete unknowns.
I think for me, it's probably my age that I don't... I mean, if we were to talk about 70s, 80s, and we were to talk about actors and directors, I'd be okay, you know, Altman, Aldridge, Matt, all those, but... The modern ones, I watch the films, but I don't think I quite pay too much attention to, which is silly, really, and I should do more, is I don't pay much attention to who directs them or who the actors are. I just sort of see the movie. But I think I must start. And I've got my favourite actors, obviously, the ones that I really like.
Yeah.
Like Brad Pitt, who I think is probably my most favourite actor, and I... Swear is the son of Robert Redford. In his films, he looks, if for those of you, well, you all know Robert Redford is. Do you know who Robert Redford is?
I don't.
See?
The Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. 60s classic. No, well.
So this is what.
Yeah. He was a big thing in his day. 70s, I think, were his heyday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There was like a pair of them, wasn't there? Like Paul Newman and. Have you heard of Paul Newman?
I have heard of Paul Newman.
Oh, you have heard of Paul Newman, yeah. But what I'm saying is, I think of certain eras, but Robert Redford was huge, wasn't he? He was like a major
star. Yeah, he was the top box office star for a long time. But he did appear in one of the Avengers films. He was one of the commanders of
He was
Shield.
Like one of the baddies. No, Hydra. But he was like a double agent.
Double agent, yeah.
And they actually opened... There's a scene in that where he opens up the fridge and there's like bottles of Paul Newman. But I don't know if you ever picked that up. So, because, I mean, they made a few films together, The Sting and Butch Cassidy. So, yeah, but... Brad Pitt was Robert Redford. Yeah, he was huge. So.
He was the Brad Pitt of his day. He did all rom-coms and he did serious drama and he did... But, you know, he was like an everyman. He did lots of stuff.
He was quite good, so yeah.
And very handsome.
I know, we went off, we
No,
shot,
that's all right. So well, we'll get back on track right after the break.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, Isle of Wight's community station.
Red Squirrel Property Shop are an independent, family-run local business that's honest, trustworthy and reliable. Isn't that exactly what you need when renting out your home? Honesty. At Red Squirrel Property Shop, we help rent out and manage properties all over the island. We can offer you various services from guaranteed rent on time, fully managed and tenant introduction. We are there to help take away the stress from renting out your home. Call us today to have the life of a stress-free landlord on 01983 521 212.
Braiding Roman Villa, more than just an award-winning museum, the eco-friendly building provides free access to a cafe that has stunning views of the whole of Sandown Bay, acres of free parking and plenty of space for children to play safely in the tranquil setting that's hardly changed since the Romans lived here. Come and try Ben's lunches and Nikki's cakes, all homemade and delicious. The friends of Braiding Roman Villa provide visitors with a free introduction to the villa's history and delight in answering people's questions. Braiding Roman Villa open every day, 10 till 4. Come and treat yourself anytime.
Do you suspect there may be some bullying going on within your company? Have you wondered what, if anything, you can do to stop it? Break the Cycles one-day workshop, Thriving in the Workplace, is the solution to any bullying that may be impacting the smooth running of your organisation, leading to increased staff turnover. There may be negative PR for your company if it's associated with bullying and nothing is done. For more information about this one-day workshop on workplace bullying, click breakthecycle.org.uk or email hello@breakthecycle.org.uk. Or you can call us on 01983 754 666 for an informal chat.
Hi, it's the Rockmeister here. Just been down to see the management for my annual bonus. Previous years, they've been very generous. I've been given cash, a Lamborghini, and a boat to moor next door in the quay. You've done really well again. We're going to give you a villa in the south of France to spend your winter. Wow, I replied. You are generous, I said. But wait, doesn't that mean I won't be here to do the Friday Rock Show? Exactly, said the management. I think I'll pass on my bonus for this year. Join me, the Rockmeister, every Friday, 7 through till 10, for the Friday Rock Show.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the island's local station.
Hello, welcome back to Vectis Movies. So, I am hoping we have now got Toes in with us.
Yes, you have.
We have got Toes in, hooray!
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. 1 week before my self-imposed exile is over and I'm back in the studio with you guys.
Hooray, we miss you.
We miss you.
Okay. Yeah, it'll be good to be back.
Oh, we can't wait to have you back, Tozen. So this week you have seen Searching, haven't you?
I have seen Searching, yes. I've seen this Searching. Now, you might have seen this film with a poster. It has John Cho in it, who is probably best known in this country for being one half of Harold and Kumar. This is a film that goes back ages, about two guys who get high on pot and then spend the whole night looking for sort of like a version of McDonald's or something like that.
They do, yeah. I did see a
and he's Mr. Sulu in the Star Trek reboots.
I recognized him.
He's more recently Sulu in the Star Trek reboot. But this is him, like kind of like, because he's been known for a lot of comedy. Star Trek was, people were like, oh my god, I didn't really because he could do this. And then this is him going a bit, sort of embracing the fact that he's growing older and actually putting in an extremely brilliant performance. Mm-hmm. I've seen some of these posters, and you know how a lot of times on posters, they say things and you think, oh, for goodness sake, whatever. And it says something like on the poster, like, you know, a ride worthy of Hitchcock. And I have to say, for once, I think a poster's got it right.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, I think a poster's got it, because I know on radio shows that we've been on before, I mean, Sean, Sharon, and I, we've spoken about Hitchcock and, or like, you know, certain things that he, like, you know, predilections he had about, like, you know, a lack of respect for authority and the wrong man getting blamed and all that kind of stuff, and how we all thought that he would have a field day with social media.
Mm.
Like if you'd given Hitchcock social media, what he would have done with it. And this film, I think if Hitchcock was around, he would have to go some to be better than this film.
Wow.
And that's, I know I'm waxing lyrical here, but honestly, I got totally lost in this film. I got totally like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Oh, and Sean, I think you'd like it, because the storyline is essentially about a guy. It's a guy and he's a single father with his daughter. His wife died a couple of years before, so it's just him and his daughter, and they're trying to figure out how to carry on life with him and a teenage daughter when his wife is no longer around. And the gimmick of the whole of this film is that the entire film is a computer screen. So everything you see on the screen on the screen as you're watching the film is this guy's computer screen. So it will be like he goes to one place and he opens up a window and something pops up, or then FaceTime pops up and he talks to his daughter. And even though that sounds like it will be limiting, but it is weirdly cinematic. It's so engrossing that the way, like, he uses all these different windows to find out about everything. And then one day his daughter disappears. His daughter disappears and he's trying to find out where she is. And so obviously there's a 48-hour thing before he can call the police in. So he starts trying to do his own investigation using social media and all that kind of stuff, find out. And he starts finding out that there's all these things that show that his daughter might not be who he thought she was. And he might not even have known his own daughter, even though they lived in the same house and all that kind of stuff. And just the way it follows through it, you can see the thinking behind how social media just sort of pervades every area of our lives, and how you can create a whole different persona in social media from what people know in your real life, and how you can find out about this just using phones and computers and all that kind of stuff. And I was so into this film. I mean, by the time this film finished, I was like, well, that was That was well impressive.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean, I think we spoke about Unfriended a couple of weeks ago, which was just yeah. And I think it does work. You know, I wasn't. You'd think me, being the age I am and the technophobe, that I wouldn't appeal to me. But I didn't mind it. I thought it was quite good. So yeah. So and I mean, I was tempted to see this actually, Tozin, sometime.
Wait, was it actually on the island?
Yeah, it's actually on.
Yeah, they did an unlimited screening for it, and I think it is currently on at the moment.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Oh, I would recommend you go see it.
Okay, I'll try and catch it. Yep.
I really would recommend you go see it. I mean, it's sort of in the same way that, like, I think in some Hitchcock stories, when you look at the story and look at the overall story itself, it's actually quite a simple story. And it's like, you know, if you just took the broad strokes of the story, it's not that, but it's the way it's told. And I think the way this film is told as well, because the fact is you don't know anything that the main character played by John Cho, you don't know anything that he doesn't know.
That's I mean, it does. I remember when I saw the trailer and I thought, well, yeah, that looks quite interesting.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
How many stars would you give this one?
Oh, this is a straight up 4. I mean, it's strong. It's hovering on a 5. To be
wow. Wow.
It's hovering on a 5. I'm sure there's things about. I think I know why I wouldn't quite give it a 5. Because there's something towards the ending. I don't think it ruins the film at all. But essentially, it gets to a point where the ending can go one way or it can go another way. It could go one way, it could go another way. The way it ends, it's kind of a little bit, it sort of pulls it back a bit from that, but I can kind of understand why they did that, because...
Tozin.
Yeah, because I think essentially it sort of like cools your nerves down by the end, so I'll give this a 4 film.
Okay, cool.
That's good.
Tozin.
Yeah,
I'm really, really interested, and I believe you've seen this film. You've seen Black Klansman, yeah? Which I think
I have seen Black Klansman. Yeah.
Okay, I've been waiting for ages. It's a bit, I haven't seen you before. I'd really like to know your take on this.
Okay, Black Klansman. Yeah, I saw this. I saw this immediately after I saw Searching. I did like a double header thing. I like Black Klansman a lot.
Yeah,
I mean it's Spike Lee, and it's because Spike Lee, you. Well, he's one of these people who I feel a bit like about Spike Lee, the way I feel about the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Uh-huh.
The earlier stuff, I feel like, might be the stuff that everybody yells about and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, well, sure enough, it was good. But as he grew older and as they grew older, things mellowed and things became a bit more, like, you know, there's a bit more craft to it and there's a bit more, okay, I'm trying to tell you a story here. And I like this because it was kind of like Spike Lee. He still has that whole thing where he's angry.
Yeah. There's a lot of anger in this movie.
And he's showing you stuff that he's like, I'm angry about this. You should be getting angry about this too. But the way he does it in this, I think it's a lot more measured and it's a lot better. And I know that you were talking about some of the things, some of the language that's being used because of the whole, I won't go into the storyline of it because you guys already did that last week. And when he's talking about the language that he uses on the phone, and I have to admit, because I didn't grow up hearing language like that. I grew up in Nigeria. So, yeah. It's not as if you wouldn't have anybody discriminating against you because you were black. So I grew up pretty much oblivious to racism.
Yeah.
And so I still feel like I'm a bit removed from that and those things don't affect me that much. But even the way this film starts, and then you have Alec Baldwin showing up playing some character who's spawning some sort of eugenics thing about how the white race is superior and everything like that. And the hairs on the back of my head.
Do you not think here, Tozin, that he played it like Trump? And there was even a few Trump tropes in there. Oh. If you ever watch it.
No, definitely. I mean, this is Spike Lee. With what's going on in America, Spike Lee is not going to make a film that's based today and not address the whole Trump thing.
But I mean, there's no way
about it. I mean, and it's, the fact that he did that and he spoke about it, and there's a whole bit where they have this conversation where it's like, you know, oh, America's never going to elect a president who is this. Because it says in the 70s, you're like, okay, that conversation never happened. He's so obviously talking about what's happening in America today.
Can I just ask you, what did you think of Adam Driver's performance? Is it Adam Driver?
I thought Driver was good. I thought Adam Driver was Adam Driver.
Yeah.
Because, to be honest with you, I feel like Adam Driver gives you something solid. He gives you something level. He gives you Adam Driver.
Yeah.
I don't feel like it's ever particularly explosive or ever particularly sort of like rave worthy.
This was my favorite performance of his in the things I've seen him in.
Adam Driver. Well, yeah, I think some of the bits where he's talking about his identity as a Jew, I mean, I quite like those bits.
Mm.
I mean, the film is funny. It's funny, and but at the same time, you have this malice because you think these guys are idiots.
Did you enjoy it?
How many stars did you get this? Because we're just about run out of time. So
4 out of 5.
Four out of five.
Good for
okay,
you. Good
that's
for
pretty
you,
good. So we are going to have to say goodbye now.
Catch
so goodbye from me.
And me.
And goodbye from me.
See bye.
You bye.
See you next time.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
Vectis Radio, 104.6. The heart.